The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello and welcome to this week's Make It So, the Star Trek podcast. I'm Richard Smith.
And I'm Mike Dawson.
This week, we're having our discussion of the best baddies of Star Trek.
Ooh. Why do I always do that?
I don't know. I love those moments. I love those moments after we introduce a show and then there's a pause. We do it on movies you should see as well.
It's like, this week, we're discussing different models of tricorder.
Ooh.
No, we're not. We're going to do best baddies.
Who's your favourite baddie, Mike?
When we get to the tricorder episode, can we, like, stop this?
Yeah, when we're talking about tricorders for an entire episode, then
I think
we'll...
it's time to sort of, you know, maybe wrap up this podcast altogether when we get to that point. I think that's a few thousand episodes off yet, so we're okay for the moment.
Certainly.
Right, okay. Well, you've got a lot to pick from. You've got an awful lot to pick from.
Star Trek in itself nearly had a baddie per episode, but not quite. Quite a few recurring ones, but in some cases, especially more of the Insular episodes, and especially in the original series, there would be a new baddie every week.
Yeah. Well, so, it was Monster of the Week by the third series, wasn't it, of Star Trek, the original series.
That's just it.
The third series is notoriously bad for the original series because it didn't have any of the, or very little of the social commentary that was going on in the earlier seasons. So they kind of like, yeah, it just got to, ooh, what can we create this week? Something that sucks out the salt in people's bodies? Yeah, we'll do that.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. That was the one where it's the Dr. McCoy's wife, isn't it? Or is an old girlfriend.
Old girlfriend, play. I think, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah. Yeah,
a weird hairy thing as well that eats salt.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. I was watching Captain Kirk fight the Gorn monster the other day. That was quite good. The one where he's on the planet on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a famous scene. No, I won't kill you. Kill him! That's what we've been waiting for. We didn't watch this to watch you not kill him. Kill him. Oh, well. But he was very good in making a little hand cannon with some bamboo and chemicals he found. And
yeah,
stuff
that
like
is
that.
Quite a famous one. The Gorn is a bit shit, though.
It was very slow, wasn't it?
Yeah. Most of the monsters are a bit shit in the original series, though, really.
I still love them, though, in a kind of pantomime sort of way.
Yeah. It's almost like watching theatre, isn't it? Watching the original series. You know, you've got to sort of like dispel a lot of things about it. So you kind of accept the camp acting and everything else that goes with it, just as well as you accept anything within 60s television, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah. I take it that the baddies are more, I look at it and think, they're representing a monster there with that man under that blanket.
Exactly.
And
it represents a threat rather than actualizes it in some kind of, I don't know, existential nonsense.
They got a lot better once they got onto the animated series, because obviously you can draw whatever you want.
Oh, God, the animated series. We haven't even touched on that yet, have we?
No, it's out on DVD soon. To be honest, I don't know a great deal about it. I've seen a few of them.
Yeah, I watched most of them when I was quite young. Can't remember that much about them. I can remember one... all I can remember is one moment where they go into this crazy place where it's like the space equivalent of the Bermuda Triangle, and there's loads of lost famous ships in there, and the Enterprise has been sucked into it as well, and they've got to get out of there. And in that episode, Scotty says, "Oh, look, it's the such and such ship. It was the first ship with warp speed," and it's just like, yeah, the cartoons really didn't have anything to do with the continuity. I mean, the continuity is awful, but the cartoons in particular, no one ever took anything from the animated series before, because everyone now knows what the first warp drive ship looked like. But
there was a Tribbles episode on the animated series.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was what they did was they changed so that rather than just breed and multiply, they ate a great deal and got bigger. But then they found out that the giant Tribbles actually contained hundreds of little Tribbles, and they popped open.
Right.
So I suppose in the end it was very much like the first one.
Right.
But, yeah, what were we talking about again?
Villains.
Villains. Can you include...
We got the Tribbles there.
Yeah, can you include the Tribbles as villains? Sort of.
Sort of. There's no malice in there, is there, really?
No.
Yeah, not a lot of malice in some of the monsters, though. I remember there was one where it was a cloud that sucked people's blood out or something like that on one episode, and there was a young ensign who froze, and that was quite a good one for the original series. But I can't really remember many of the villains from the original series. I know that there was an awful lot of them, though. Obviously, there was... what's his name? Fucking hell, the Klingons. The ones who come back up in DS9 every now and then.
You've confused me now.
Well, there were three like big Klingon captains in the original series who all one of them played the original Baltar in the original Battlestar Galactica as well, and he later popped up in Deep Space Nine and in Next Gen, and just in DS9, sorry, and was quite a reoccurring character, and then eventually got killed at the end of in Series 7 at one point in a glorious battle. but he can't be counted as a villain because he came a hero, and he was always kind of a surly, sarcastic kind of character as well, so we don't count him in the villains category. I suppose if you're going to go for the original series, you've really got to go for the villains in the movies.
Hang on, we do have Khan.
We do have Khan. Now that's a good contender for top villain. A very good contender for top villain.
I'd say so. I mean, he got closer than most other people did. The aim being to kill Kirk and the Enterprise and all its crew, and he did ever so well, bless him.
He did very well. He fucked them up right in the middle, and he nearly fucked them right at the end. And it was only because Spock had to sacrifice his life temporarily.
Yeah.
in order for them to escape. That was one of the brilliant bits of Star Trek 2 as well, when they just shoot out, and just as the Reliant explodes and the Nebula is destroyed simultaneously and the Genesis planet is born. That was amazing. It's like, "My last breath I spit at thee."
I think they won an Oscar for something on that one.
Yeah.
Special effects or a sound effect, something like that.
Star Trek won a few like special effects ones over the years. I think First Contact got nominated for makeup or something like that.
I think it won for makeup.
It might have done.
Each Borg was different.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I still can't get over that. That's ever so good.
Hmm.
But I suppose actually it just takes drawing a picture of 1,000 Borg or whatever.
And then it's just a lot of graphs, really, not necessarily creative.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I could go with Khan as the best baddie of.
Your horses there, Sonny Jim, because you've got to look at what damage did they cause. For Kirk's era, I think we've got to really again go through the categories of each series and see how we go with these. For Kirk's era, you've got Khan. Okay. You know, he kills Spock temporarily.
Yeah.
He fucks him up a bit. You know, he nearly destroys the Enterprise and everything else. Now, if you jump chapters a little bit and jump onto number three there, you have, what's his name?
The Klingon, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. Now, this is a very strong contender for top villain because he kills Kirk's son, or has Kirk's son killed.
Quite brutally as well.
Quite brutally. He destroys another Federation ship. As far as I can remember, that was one of the first ones in the movies, certainly, of another Federation ship being destroyed.
He also causes the Enterprise to be destroyed as well, doesn't he?
Yep, exactly. Kirk does it, but, you know, the Enterprise has to be blown up to save them at the end. And he's also got the most spectacular death scene of any Star Trek villain out of all of them, being kicked off a 1,000-foot cliff into a molten volcanic sea. I have had enough of you! As he goes flying down. Brilliant. And parodied so well in South Park the movie, which I loved.
Of course it was.
It's such an odd little reference right at the end when it's the devil, isn't it, kicking Saddam Hussein into the I have had enough of you, and kicks him in. It's brilliant.
I never twigged.
Did you not?
No, I didn't. No, you made that film better for me.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I pissed myself. It was just such an obscure Star Trek reference. But, you know, out of all of the Star Trek references, you know, to pick the death scene of the villain in Star Trek 3, which is not one of the big popular ones. You know, Matt Stone, God, great stuff.
The man is a genius.
So I think he's got to be on the top runnings there.
Well, do you know what we could do? We could include sort of Khan from the original series and then the Christopher Lloyd Klingon from the movies.
Yeah.
If you like. Assuming that we're not going to go for General Chang in Star Trek 6, but he doesn't destroy an Enterprise.
He doesn't do a lot of damage either. You know, I mean, he has Kirk and, you know, he's you know, he's a bit of a weaselly sort of behind the scenes Klingon, really, isn't it? He only sort of gets his teeth into a bit of battle at the last sequence, and he's just quoting the Bard far too much, and you would give real money if he'd shut up.
He does smash up the Enterprise a fair bit, but again, no serious destruction.
Not as much as Khan.
No main character death.
No.
You know,
would have been a bit of a downer for the last one.
And they kill him with one torpedo.
Yeah.
What is that about?
No,
you haven't ever seen him blow up a ship with one torpedo. But his straight away.
He didn't have to detonate an almighty Genesis device and invert an entire nebula or get kicked off a 1,000-foot cliff into a sea of volcanic lava.
No.
You know, I mean, you've got to look at the death sequences versus the death sequences. The shittest villain in the Star Trek movies has to go to the fucking god creature or whatever it was on Star Trek V. That was rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
And it got nowhere.
Yeah.
Killed no one, got no starship.
It killed Cyborg, didn't it? Which was altogether a good thing.
Oh, that's very true. Yes. Cyborg. Yeah.
Cyborg. That half crappy Vulcan we really didn't give a shit about. He looked nothing like Spock.
I tell you what,
Mark Leonard for that rather.
Yeah. God, what an awful character.
Yeah.
Just suddenly Spock has a half brother.
Yeah.
That's never come up in the last 30 years, but today he does, and he's there. Quite convenient.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And he's an emotional Vulcan.
Ooh. Yes. He's half man, half human, half Vulcan, like Spock, but human.
See, that was what happened when they pitched it, when Bill Shatner said, look, this is what's going to happen in the film, and it's going to be Spock's half-brother. And all the execs not wanting to offend Bill Shatner's convictions all went, ooh, in that fake way.
And they then, must have done.
And then they said, yeah, let's do that. That'll be a good idea. It's a really good idea, Bill. Let's do that. Better than the whales.
Yeah, better than the whales. Oh, and we'll have a scene where Nichelle Nichols is naked. But Bill, isn't she in her 60s now? Yeah, it'll be great. We'll do it in silhouette.
Ah.
What was that about? Yeah.
And That, oh my God, you just reminded me. Have you ever heard, I used to be very, well, I used to love my, I still do love my Star Trek soundtracks. And I remember getting the Star Trek V soundtrack out from the library, the Milton Keynes Public Library, when I was very young, and when you used to get CDs out on loan from the library when that first started happening. And I got the Star Trek V soundtrack out, and on that is the proper pop version of that song she's singing while she's doing the dance.
Any good?
And, no.
Didn't need to ask.
Of course,
really.
Not. No, you didn't. It's a Star Trek song.
Rarely is there good music connected with Star Trek in the vocal sense.
No. Rarely is there good music connected to it in any sense, apart from when James Horner's around and debatably Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh, just look at Leonard Nimoy's version of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, yeah.
Or any of his many albums.
The Tambourine Man is always a good one from Mr. Shatner there as well. That's
my favourite's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
I think we could argue that music by Star Trek stars is the worst evil of Star Trek.
Yeah.
In this episode where we're talking about baddies. Listen to a Bad Shatner villains. Album.
Oh, yeah, are we talking maybe Bill Shatner's vocals, worst villain?
Yeah, quite possibly. Or
that's
his hair
kind of
piece.
That's by proxy, though. We're off on somewhere else there. We're not really getting to the nub of the matter here.
We need to move on to next gen, don't we?
We do. I mean, what else have we got in the start in the original series? That's really it, isn't it?
We've got Khan for the original series, and we've got Christopher Lloyd Klingon for the movies.
Yeah.
So time for next gen.
Next gen.
You see, now the clear choice is the Borg.
The Borg.
Right.
Problem is, they're not individuals, so we can't have any individual villain. So you're talking about a villain race, as it were, which kind of falls out of the category we're talking about. If we're going to go for an individual villain within the Borg, it has to be either. It's just got to be the Borg Queen, really, hasn't it?
Well, then the problem is, if we use her now, we've got no one for Voyager.
Yeah, so we can't really use her. And I don't really want to use her because I don't think she was that good a villain.
No, I think if you're going to use the Borg, you've got to use the Collective.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't think she's that good a villain. If I'm going to be honest, right, from Next Gen, the creature on the planet where who kills Tasha Yar was a
very
good
villain. That is a good baddie, you know.
He's a good valet. I just love it when he starts. He first rises from the dark, sort of oily slime, and Riker's on the communicator with Picard, and Picard's like, "What is it, Will? What do you see?" Trouble. How do you know, Will? He might be a really nice guy. The fact that he looks like a shit, scary oil creature, doesn't mean that he doesn't have a heart of gold deep down.
No, he knows.
Him on face value.
He knows. He's Will Riker. He knows.
Yeah, well, he was right. The guy was a cunt. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But he's a good villain because he's nasty. He was really nasty, wasn't he? And of course, he killed a main character. Main character to get killed in Next Gen. So,
you see, I think fair dues. You straight away up at the top there, aren't you? Just for that alone.
Just for that point scoring there. And yeah, he's nasty. He's a bit evil. He's twisted. He's actually slightly complicated because he's been left there and he was abandoned on that planet by other people before, which is what sort of made him into what he is today. So he wasn't just a completely faceless, although he was literally faceless villain. just realized what I was doing there.
Those oil slick monsters all look the same to me.
Yeah, metaphorically speaking, he wasn't a faceless villain. He wasn't a faceless villain, but he was a faceless man, as it were.
Yes.
And so, he's got the complexity. He's got killing the main character, and he's got the fact that he's just a nasty bastard, really deep down inside. So, I think he's got to be a forefront runner. What else? Who else in Next Gen?
Well, I don't know. Now you see, once you've got that, kill the main cast member, you're pretty much up there because no one else ever did. My first instinct to say, well, Q, but can Q really be seen as a baddie?
Q was a baddie for the first, like, for Encounter Farpoint, Q was definitely a baddie. And in the second episode he was in, where he made Riker a member of the Q, he was a baddie.
He was beginning to become entertaining in that one. I did just happen to watch that one the other day, actually. I'm on disc two of the series one box.
And
it's on there. And he's starting to be, he is very serious a character in Encounter at Farpoint. But by the time you get to this one, he's becoming the sort of jocular Q that you grow to love throughout the series.
Right, okay. So it's only Encounter at Farpoint where he's really a villain.
He's in this one, he's more trouble.
Yeah.
You see. No threatening of the human race.
It's after they make him human for the episode in Deja Q, wasn't it? And then they realise what a really hilarious character he could be.
Exactly.
And then then there was the one where he sends them all to Sherwood Forest, and then there was the ones in Series 6, and then obviously there was the very end of All Good Things and stuff, where he got a little bit of the darkness back, but not nearly enough. He was still jovial Q.
Hang on, there was something about that on the forum. I'm actually going to go into it and find it now. Just bear with me a second, because it related to what we were talking about last week when I was saying about human beings becoming as powerful as the Q.
Mm.
And where is it? Simon Denson on the forum had gone and put his thoughts about it, and this quote that related to it was, "Humans as villains. My only problem with the idea that humans have evolved to the point where they are a threat to the Q is that the Q are humans. If you remember the last episode of Next Gen, then you'll remember the scene where, after Picard has figured out the whole backwards time malarkey, he asks Q what he's really up to. Q leans forward and seems about to tell him, but he just smiles wryly. I always took this to mean that the Q has slowly been manipulated humanity's intellectual evolution, and Picard finally beginning to think beyond simple linear concepts is the start of man's final evolution into the Q."
All right.
And that really impressed me. I thought that was awesome.
That is a very good little take on it. Yeah, I've never really thought about that.
This is it. This is my way in. We need to do a treatment script and get it off to Paramount and say, look, we have got the future for you here.
Yep.
We can save your franchise. This is it.
Get JJ on it.
Yeah, get JJ on it. Be awesome. Our Star Trek series, that's what we need.
That's what we need.
So, no, I don't think you can really be a big baddie, certainly not as much as the Borg. So I'm happy to make the big oil slick monster the baddie for this one.
Well, I'm trying to think throughout the series what else there was.
Professor Moriarty, the hologram.
Oh, he was rubbish. He was a hologram, for starters.
Did take control of the Enterprise.
Did. That's not hard.
It happened every other fortnight, didn't it?
It did happen on a regular basis. I'm trying to think, because like in Series 4, there's not really many villains, per se. Series 2. Now here was a good one. It's an early Series 2 episode.
Yeah.
It was one of the darker episodes where they end up going into a cloud or a nebula or something, and it's actually a sentient being, and it decides to completely fuck with everyone on board's head.
Yes, I remember this one. They have to do the auto-destruct sequence.
That's it, yeah. And he lets them go at the very end, doesn't he? But he kills the guy on the bridge right in front of them, and they can't do anything.
I think a few people get it.
Yeah, just to see what death is like, and everything. And that was it. Oh, he was going to go through and kill everyone on the crew just to understand all the different facets of death. So Picard decided to blow up the Enterprise. That was good, because that was quite a scary one.
Yes. Gets close to destroying the Enterprise.
Gets close.
And kills a few crew members as well, but no main characters.
Yeah.
It's still the ink blot monster, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's plenty of them. Series 6, was there any? I can't know. Series 5 was all a bit flimsy, wasn't it? There wasn't really much.
Just
there was...
Unification. Oh, the Romulan Tasha Yar.
Yeah. She was a bit shit. Only because she disappeared. The build-up to her was quite impressive because there was the episode where they make Geordi LaForge an assassin and program him to be an assassin and like to kill a Klingon Chancellor. And she's in the shadows in the background and you don't know who it is and you're wondering, who's that? Who is that? I recognize that voice, but I don't know who it is. And she wasn't credited at all either. And then like later on at the end of the series with Redemption Part 1, it was like the big twist at the end and she steps out of the shadows, making you go, huh? And then not explaining it until next year. That was really annoying. But they did. But then she was in Unification and then she just disappeared. There was Lurster and Betor. They were a bit shit. Duras!
Actually, Duras. Hang on. Go back to Lurster and Betor because we get a sort of movie next-gen clash here because it has to be fair that in Generations, they are directly responsible for an Enterprise destruction.
Yes.
When their bird of prey explodes, not as well as Khan, I don't think. No. What's his name? Christopher Lloyd Klingon. Not as well as him, but they did blow up an Enterprise.
Yeah, they did blow up an Enterprise. They did have a fairly good death sequence. They were pretty manipulative and a fairly long-running villains. I mean, they were in Deep Space Nine briefly as well.
Yeah, very
prominent
throughout Next Gen.
Started a civil war on the Klingon homeworld and everything. Of course, you've got their brother, Duras, who...
Worf kills him, doesn't he? He was a weedy little worm.
Yeah, but he kills Worf's girlfriend as well, which kind of puts him in a running for a nasty villain.
Maybe
collectively... You could probably call them that.
The House of Duras.
The House of Duras, maybe. That's the I don't know. Oil slick villain. Yeah. Tough one.
Should we just stick them all in?
Just stick them all in.
If we build them all up and then an imaginative rumble at the end.
Okay.
That sort of thing. Okay. So we'll have them come rushing in unexpected with a chair and batter someone halfway through.
I'm
thinking in WWF terms now.
Right.
Sorry, say that last one again.
How about Shinzon?
Shinzon.
Because we're not counting F.M. Murray or whatever his name was.
No.
Insurrection villain, because he was crap.
He wasn't directly Enterprise or crew hostile.
No.
So...
He was kind of fucking some other people up and Enterprise got in the way a little bit.
That was it. Whereas all the others are directly want to kill the Enterprise.
Yeah. But Shinzon's pretty good. Because you've got the whole he's Picard thing going on and what would Picard be like if he went another way, which was, okay, that was a bit bottom of the barrel sci-fi sort of idea, but it was still quite well delivered, I thought. And he does fuck the Enterprise up an awful lot.
Yes,
kills a lot of people.
Got a main character death.
Yeah-ish.
You've got to give him Data.
You've got to give him Data, even, you know, B4 isn't Data, even though he is Brent Spinner. You've got to give him the character death, so maybe he's up there as well, I think.
We'll have him in the Rumble then.
We'll have him in the Rumble then. Okay, DS9. Now, here you're onto some complex stuff, because they don't really have true villains in Deep Space Nine. They have people who fleet between being villains and heroes within series. Gul Dukat, for example, who is in it from the first episode, starts out being the sort of schneidy Kardashian. You don't really like him, but he's a bit arrogant. But you do sort of grow to like him over the first few series because he's consistently that way.
Yeah.
And then he loses everything and then he goes and starts fighting a personal war with the Klingon Empire, and you do like him then in series 5, and then halfway through series 5 he switches sides and goes and joins the Dominion and tries to fuck up the Alliance and everything and fuck up everyone in the Dominion Wars, and then at the end of series 6 he gets possessed by a Parave and becomes the emissary for the Poirot for the end. So he's got two levels of being a villain. He's also got a level of being a hero briefly as well, and he's got a level of being the sort of in-between kind of character. So he's kind of, he's interesting because he's very complex character, Golder Cat, and what he does and how he interacts with everyone and his relationship with Kira and his yeah. rivalry with Sisko and everything else, which was very interesting to play off. So I think you've got to put him into the mix just for that, the level of detail.
Okay.
And the fact yep. that he's probably the longest running villain as well. You know, he's in it all seven series from Emissary.
That's very true, right, actually.
Right through to What You Leave Behind. So he's in the whole of DS9. So he's quite a long one. You've got Damar, which is a complex one as well, because he starts out being a villain. He kills Zial, who we quite like. But then by the end of Series 7, we really like Damar because he's like the leader of the Cardassian Rebellion.
Yep. You've got the whole Dominion.
Yeah, you've got the shapeshifters.
The shapeshifters, who, you know, the Jem'Hadar.
Female shapeshifter. Yeah.
The Vorta.
Yeah, but not individuals, really. Weyoun, you can sort of class as a villain, but he's far too weak and wet to be a real good villain.
Yes.
He's sort of more of like the light relief villain. You know, and how many times can we kill Weyoun this season sort of joke was quite funny. But
individually, they're all a bit wet.
Yeah.
In that
one. The female shapeshifter is quite a good one, and she is responsible for fucking shitloads of death.
That's right. Yeah. It's a tricky one because they've got a lot of power behind them and they are responsible for perhaps the most death throughout DS9.
And throughout Star Trek, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dominion Wars kills hundreds of millions of people and she is responsible for those wars.
Yeah.
Well, the founders are collectively, but she's their leader, so to speak.
I could give it to her.
You could give it to her.
I mean, the sort of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's my Voyager. Fault for growing up in a country that works on double entendre.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Never mind.
So I'm happy to award her the prize for the worst baddie in Star Trek.
What, all of it?
In DS9. You know what else has just occurred to me? As I say, the worst baddie in Star Trek. We've taken that to mean the baddie who did the most damage, but are they meaning the shittest baddie in Star Trek?
No, we should go with the worst baddie, as in like the baddie that causes the most damage, I think, because we've done a couple of negative ones, like the worst character in Star Trek. Let's keep it with... And we've touched on the worst villain, the worst, like as in bad crap. It's got to be the God guy in Star Trek V, really.
Yes, I think so.
Maybe.
And we never did find out what he wanted with the starship.
Yeah, what did he? What does God want with a starship? You tell me, Bill. You tell me. No, maybe that is what he meant. Maybe that's what this is. Sorry, this is actually a forum suggestion again from.
I was just looking it up actually. Yeah, Toronto Kev, sorry.
Toronto Kev. So thank you very much for that suggestion. Hopefully this is making entertaining listening. And maybe we've completely done the wrong thing and you weren't wanting to hear this at all. Never mind. Maybe we'll do that later on.
He'll be chuffed. But, we read out his name on a podcast.
Yeah, that's enough. Die happy now.
It is. Mm. Actually, as we're speaking, he's on Skype now. We could bring him on. I'm not going to, obviously, but God, that would make his day.
Yeah.
We just popped up on Skype. Hey, are you Kev? You're on our show now. Hey, maybe one day if we could ever figure out how to do a live show of anything, I'd love to do something like that and
maybe.
Get the shit out of people around the world.
Maybe if we had an iota of technical knowledge, really, it would help.
There are ways
we
to do
it. We do have an iota.
There are ways to do it. They're just a little bit too expensive at the moment.
Right.
But... They are there, and I can only assume it will get cheaper or we will get more money.
Well, one of the two.
So the
on
worst,
to Voyager.
Voyager. Now, we've sort of reserved the Borg and the Borg Queen.
Mm, I think it would be a bit of a cop-out to say the entire cast of Voyager again, although I'm very tempted.
Well, here's my thinking. I totally agree with you, but if we keep doing it, then it sort of becomes a running joke, and they're good.
Yeah.
you see? And that means that every time we do an episode where it's the worst of something, when we get to Voyager, we just go, all the Voyager crew and anyone who's ever been on it or near it, or even said the word Voyager.
To be honest, I'm struggling to think of any, you know, villains.
Oh, there were a few Voyager. Sort of bad things that they had to face. I mean, there were the guys on the time ship that kept changing the space-time continuum thing.
There was the Kardashians as well, wasn't there? The Kardashian woman who was actually, who originally was a Bajoran, who had a thing with Chakotay and everything. And
her name has gone from my mind right now.
Seska.
Seska.
Awesome. That, I think it was Seska, something like
that's
that.
It. And she was there with those guys, with the Oompa Loompa baddie guys.
Yeah, the Kazon.
The Kazon.
She had a baby, didn't she? She had a...
Yes, but it died.
Baby. But yeah, that's right, they killed it.
There are the... Do you remember the episode where they had this virus that got really big? And it was flying around the ship, and there were giant virus molecule things that tried to kill Janeway.
Yeah, barely.
They were quite good and very nearly killed Janeway.
There was the crew of the Equinox as well. That was quite a good little villain. Well, the captain of the Equinox, more particularly, was quite a good little villain. Trying to think. Oh, I forgot from DS9. We've totally forgot Sloan as well.
The reason why I didn't mention him was because he was more specific to troubling one particular character.
Yeah.
And was
but
never
then he
really...
was trying to engineer a virus to kill an entire people, an entire species, wasn't he?
He really never got close, though.
He didn't... Well, he did. They were really, you know... It was only because Bashir was so goddamn smart. That, well, actually, it wasn't, no, because they found it in... It was O'Brien who managed to get him out of Sloane's mind at the end, so it was O'Brien who kind of, like, saved the day with that one. And so he did get fairly close, and he would have killed Odo as well in the process, so, you know, you've got to give him a little bit there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. A little bit. Well,
back to Voyager.
Back to Voyager.
Yeah, what the fuck? Then, yeah, the Borg Queen, I suppose, is the main... And she kills Janeway at the end, doesn't she? So
yeah, that's always good. A captain death.
Captain death. So that doesn't really make it particularly bad, because, you know.
No, but...
I suppose Golda Cat, like, contributes to the death of Sisko as well, so... Oh, in that case, we've not even got on to Sauron, did we? Or whatever his name was from Generations.
Sorry. Yeah, the killer of Kirk. But again, he didn't have... There was no animosity in it. He wasn't after Kirk.
No.
He just didn't want to be stopped.
And he didn't directly kill Kirk. Kirk died trying to stop what he was doing. Yeah, he fell.
Yeah, if Kirk had minded his own fucking business, then none of it
would have happened.
Exactly. So we'll have to...
Stayed in the Nexus.
Yep.
Stayed there.
I imagined it to be quite fun in there, to be perfectly honest with you.
Exactly.
So I don't know what his problem was. Maybe all that last adventure stuff.
It was a nice way of the writers to give him like 79 years of bliss before killing him off.
Yes, yes.
So at least they gave him that.
Yeah. Enterprise.
Enterprise. Well, there's the time guy.
Time guy was crap. We're going to have to say the Zindi. They did lots of shit. They were excellent.
Yeah, they were good.
Well, no, they wouldn't. The one particular species of the Zindi was very good. There were the aquatic
Which one, the
ones.
Bug one?
Yeah, there were a couple of bug ones. I think the main ones were actually supposed to be lizard ones, and the bug ones were sort of like giant grasshoppers. They didn't really talk.
Didn't the lizard one look a little bit like the villains in Galaxy Quest, though?
It looked a great deal like the villain in Galaxy Quest,
which
actually, Mike.
Kind of... It dampens
the... Yeah, it looked a lawsuit close to the villain in Galaxy Quest, to be perfectly honest. It really did. I'm actually looking on the shelf to see if I can see Galaxy Quest, to see if it was a Paramount movie.
It wasn't. It was a... Oh, fuck. Universal, I think.
Right.
Can't remember.
Oh, hang on. I'm just going to... I can see it.
Just going to grab Galaxy
think
Quest
it's got
and see whether or not.
The Touchstone logo on the corner.
Oh, Touchstone, was it?
Yeah. Not Paramount, anyway.
Not Paramount, so, yeah.
Yeah, but
no,
yes.
They were deceptive. So all you could just think of the whole time was that, oh, that's the villain from the spoof of Star Trek, isn't it? Yeah, they did a lot of damage. It was suffered from the fact that they all looked really shit, and they all were a bit shit.
They were far superior to any special effects in the British science fiction around at the moment.
They were.
So I find it difficult to get at them for that.
Plus, that's no. Yeah. I don't know. The Zindi was just a bit. Not really.
I understand. I agree.
They did kill a shitload of people, though.
Exactly. The big thing that drew a big hole across the planet.
Well, America.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and plus, who else are you going to pick, really?
Mm-hmm.
You can't think of another one.
Not offhand,
no. No.
There was like the Vulcan terrorists, wasn't there?
Yeah, fuck that. Shit. That was Vulcan what's that?
What's and then there was like the crazy creatures who came and helped the Nazis, and they were a bit shit.
Oh, yeah. That was.
And then there was the creatures who were manipulating the Zindi, who were a bit shit. They just like bopped in and out of time. So it wasn't actually the Zindi, really. It was the creatures who were.
The temporal Cold War thing.
Yeah, the whole temporal Cold War thing, which was a very good idea.
Executed so badly. And not a Cold War, because people were actually doing stuff.
Yeah, it was a hot war. It wasn't a Cold War at all. If it was a Cold War, it would just be manipulating subtly behind the scenes. You wouldn't know about it.
Exactly.
Never mind.
But it wasn't. Let him go.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. So who have we got overall then?
Okay. Well, I think let's work backwards for a bit of fun this week. So I think we can. So we're going Voyager versus Enterprise.
Okay. The Zindi versus the Borg.
It's got to be the Borg.
Of course it has.
Got to be the Borg. So Voyager's actually winning.
Yeah. Well, that's their first match. So now we've got to have DS9 versus Next Gen.
Okay, right. Well, we've got a couple in DS9 though, haven't we? Are we just going to take it generally series, the villains encompassed within the series, or are we going to...
Well, let's just throw them all out there and they can have a massive...
Let's throw them all out there.
I should be writing this down as we go.
Borg Queen versus Goldacat.
Borg Queen.
Borg Queen. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Versus
Shapeshifter.
Female Shapeshifter. Gotta go with the Shapeshifter, I think.
Yeah, me too, because I don't think a Borg Queen could assimilate a Shapeshifter.
No.
So I think when it got down to it, the Shapeshifter would have the upper hand, or the upper blob, or whatever. So the Shapeshifter wins the DS9 Voyager sort of thing, definitely.
DS9's a big bag of shit. Discuss.
Pardon?
That was Craig yelling in, DS9's a big bag of shit. Discuss.
He's a comedian.
Yeah. He's a really hilarious guy. That was Craig Bevan, by the way, from movies you should see, another show of ours.
It's on the website.
You can listen to off simplysyndicate.com, as we say every week.
It's good to mix it up, though. I like saying it in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
So we now have Blob Woman versus... Okay, who are our next gen baddies? Oh, Blob...
Slime Guy.
Slime Monster versus Shapeshifter.
Slime Monster versus Shapeshifter.
Slime Monster.
This is a different set, though, because this is a difficult one, because you've got, like, overall amount of damage versus individual nature. And I suppose the Slime Monster is scarier.
The Slime Monster is far scarier. It can pull you in and it can shoot you.
Yeah.
The Blob Woman is just a blob. She's just shape-shifting liquid.
She just controls a lot of armies.
Exactly.
But if you put them down to it, if you put them in a fight...
That's what we're on here. If they were in a ring for our entertainment on pay-per-view, what would happen? And I think Oil Slick Monster would get it.
Yeah. I think he'd win.
Definitely. Unless she had the whole Dominion thing, and then they probably blow up the planet and the
Oil
Monster.
Got a chance.
So they can go into a loser's trophy.
Yeah. So it's just mono a mono, really, with those two.
Yeah.
If it's mono a mono, then it's Oil Slick Monster, really, isn't it?
Definitely. So okay. Then we're on to movies. So that leaves us with Oil Slick Monster versus Khan versus Christopher Lloyd Klingon.
Right, okay.
And by that logic, I think the Oil Monster could have both of them.
Yeah.
So here's what I propose we do. We have Oil Slick Monster as an overall winner.
Yeah.
And then we have like that loser's trophy that we put Founders Woman into. We put Khan and Christopher Lloyd Klingon into with her. And those three have a battle for second, third, and fourth.
Okay.
So out of those three, Khan. Who are we from movies again? Ah, the Klingon. You see, Founders Woman would probably be destroyed in some way by either Khan or the Klingon or both.
Yeah, they'd get shot pretty quick.
So she's out. She's in fourth place. She's out.
Yeah.
And then we have a Klingon versus an augment.
Tough one. If you're going versus on a point of comparison, doesn't Khan beat the shit out of Kirk in the original series episode?
I can't remember. I haven't seen it for a long time.
Because the Klingon beats the shit out of Kirk as well. So just how well do they fight Kirk? You know.
Well, they both nearly kill him. Whenever Kirk has a fight, it has to go to the point of nearly dead. Just for the tension. I think we're going to have to give second place to Christopher Lloyd Klingon because he blew up the Enterprise, sort of.
Yeah, I think he blew up the Enterprise. And, I mean, end of Star Trek 3 is the closest Kirk gets to death. The entire planet is blowing up around him and that Christopher Lloyd is still giving him a pummeling, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Kirk gives him his hand to pull him up and he trips him up. And Kirk has to actually resort to, you know, properly actually killing him rather than, you know, killing him because he has to. He kills him because he's really fucking annoyed him, to be perfectly honest. He's killed his son. He's fucking with his people. He's made him blow up his ship. He's still trying to fucking kill him at the end. Yeah. He just wants to give him a good kicking.
That's it.
Good kicking.
Yep. Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
So, Oil Slick Monster, so, Christopher Lloyd Klingon, Khan, and the Founder Woman.
Founder. Excellent.
I wonder if she has
a bit
name.
Of a bias in this show, isn't there, really? We're a bit biased.
Yeah, we like what we like, but...
Yeah.
You know, so do we all. That's how it works.
So do we all. Exactly.
That's how it works. Let's wrap this one up, then. I want to let's talk briefly. Tristan will be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I know we did like one episode with Tristan and then it's just been the two of us for the last 4 weeks.
To be fair, he is in Q8.
Yes.
A little difficult
to
do a podcast in Q8.
But he'll be back probably for the next one, I think.
Excellent. Yeah.
He's back here on Thursday anyway, so he'll be back in time.
So hopefully he'll be back.
So we've got that. Second of all, if you like this show... Please go ahead and vote for us on Podcast Alley, if you like, or write a review of us on iTunes. We're actually doing very well on iTunes at the moment.
We're in the
40s of the top 100. Or tell a friend, or post something, or I don't know, all sorts
of things.
Join the forums. If you go to our website, simplysyndicated.com/makeitso, you can get links through to other stuff. You've got our forums, which are actually starting to get quite good. I think I've been reading through tonight and I need to get in there and have a good blast, but they're getting very good at the moment. And also when fun new things appear, they'll be on that page. So it's worth sort of bookmarking that page and checking back every so often just to see what's happening.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And you can vote for us on Podcast Alley there. There's a little box for your email address. You can even listen to the show on there with a flash player. It's amazing.
Excellent.
It's amazing.
Excellent.
And also check out our other podcast, Movies You Should See, with me and Mike and three other crazy people, which you can find on our website at Simply Syndicated. Is that everything? Oh, well, contact us, make it so at simplysyndicated.com. We'd love to hear from you.
smashing. Okay, thanks for tuning in this week.
We'll be back next week.
Good night.
Good night.